Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast.
Today's guest is Mr. Chase Park, Director of Finance at Highland Park ISD. Thank you for your time and welcome to the podcast. Well, let's jump in right into the questions.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Could you briefly explain your role as Finance Director for Highland Park ISD?
Yeah, so as the Finance Director, probably been there for going on 3 years now. Simply put, you know, it's to manage the day-to-day financial operations of the school district, from, you know, accounts payable to payroll to purchasing, just anything that affects our ability to deliver the educational product to the students. So, you know, that, and then also a big part of my role is to work with our external auditors to successfully navigate our annual governmental audit. So that's probably the biggest thing that I'm graded on or evaluated on. But overall, it's really just to manage the budget for the campuses and departments that we have to be able to efficiently and effectively deliver the best education possible to our students with the financial resources that we're given. So whether it's, you know, property tax value, revenues or donations or federal grants, just to be able to make sure that those are being spent effectively and responsibly to be able to educate our students the best. I think, you know, I mean, if I had to kind of summarize my role, that would be it.
What are some key differences to keep in mind between an accountant and finance director?
Yeah, I think, well, certainly at a district like ours, you know, kind of smaller scale. I mean, I do a lot of the accounting stuff as well. But I would say accounting is more like the back end business office. Of, you know, recording expenditures and revenues and you know, doing those adjusting entries with our auditors to make sure that our books are right and that, you know, what we report to the state is accurate. And by state, I mean Texas Education Agency. That's our main governing agency. And then in finance, I guess without, you know, going into too much detail right now, is more about kind of the way you budget and, you know, how you can find the best solutions fiscally to provide your end users, you know, which in our case, our campuses, and also departments, with the best means to achieve kind of their educational goals and how they deliver that educational product to the students.
What are some of the things that you took into consideration when choosing to go into like an ISD, like a government sector, instead of like corporate?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors and, you know, it really depends on like kind of what career path you take, really. So there's not one roadmap or whatever that, you know, you might say. For me, when I went to college, I actually did ROTC and I ended up joining the Army ROTC program at Georgia Tech while I was going to Emory. And so I ended up serving in the United States Army for 5 years, you know, right out of college. And so that was a valuable experience and time in my life where I really, you know, learned a lot and developed as a person and a professional. But, you know, really, you know, whether I knew it at the time, I guess, you know, a big factor in kind of what I value is the duty aspect and the kind of the ability to serve others. And so, you know, getting out of the Army, I think I was still kind of seeking that kind of fulfillment, if you'll call it. And so when I was initially searching for my second career employment, I was, you know, I had offers from Amazon and I had, you know, but at the end of the day, I chose to start at the city of Dallas as an auditor because, you know, now I'm, you know, doing something that helps improve the procedures and the things that go on that affect every citizen in the city of Dallas. And so I think that was really kind of big for me. You know, I could have made a lot more money starting out at Amazon, but, you know, I valued that kind of fulfillment for serving others, I guess, a little more at the time. You know, that's kind of, if I look back, you know, I guess I can attribute my decision to work at the city of Dallas to that.
When you were in high school and college, what were some of the things that stuck out to you in accounting, which was your major, that made you want to pursue that over others? And sort of as an offshoot of that question, for like the finance director role, is it better to have studied finance or accounting in college? Is there a preference for either one, or are they both?
I'll answer that second part first. It really depends on what kind of district you're at. I mean, we could talk for hours, but you know, so if you're at a larger district, you may have several directors that, you know, at that director level that oversee certain parts of, you know, finance or certain parts of accounting or you know, budget or something. But at a smaller district, you know, you'll be doing everything yourself. And so, you know, it really depends on where you are, but I don't think you can go wrong with either a finance degree or an accounting degree or, you know, some other business degree. A lot of the roles and job descriptions kind of require a finance or accounting degree, I believe, but I think they value the experience more as opposed to what degree you have. So what was the first part of your question? High school?
So yeah, in high school and college, how are you able to narrow down all the potential options to?
Yeah, so I was definitely better at math-related subjects at St. Mark's than I was in English or science stuff. And so I knew that if I wanted to excel, I would have to, you know, do something related to either math or economics or finance. So that was kind of in the back of my mind. And then I ended up going to Emory in Atlanta, Georgia, and they have a great undergrad business program. So I was kind of immediately hooked there. And they had an accounting track to go CPA, or they had a finance track, a finance concentration. I really couldn't. The big kind of glamorous thing to do out of college is, you know, if you do finance, is to go to New York and do iBanking. And I just really didn't see myself, you know, wanting to live in New York and do that kind of lifestyle. Plus, I had already known that I was going to be going into the Army anyway. And so, you know, thinking about that, I really thought that the best decision for me was to get the education that allows me to sit for the CPA exam, which then gives me some license credentials that really sets me apart from a lot of other people in the same kind of peer group, I guess you could say. So that's kind of why I chose accounting. And then Emory also had, there was a differentiation where you could do just accounting or accounting CPA track. And so this is important because the CPA track sets you up in undergrad with the required number of upper level accounting hours that then allow you in most states to sit right away for the CPA exam. Whereas if you just take accounting, you don't get those upper level hours. And so you have to go get a master's of accounting for 1 year. And then that master's of accounting gives you the 30 hours or 35 hours, whatever it is now, that allow you to then go sit for the exam in certain states. So, yeah, I was fortunate enough to be told that. And I think that kind of, you know, thinking about my future, even back then when I was, you know, 18, 19, sophomore in college, you know, it kind of helped me to get on this path where I could shift relatively easily after my Army career. So,
and on the topic of certifications or licenses, could you talk a little bit about what being a part of like the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy or the Texas State Board of Public Accountants, like what the process is to become a part of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So all your CPA exams are governed through the NASBA, the National Associate of State Boards of Accountancy, NASBA. And so initially, you know, once you pass your CPA, you get your certification as a CPA from there. And then depending on what state you sit for, then you become inducted into that state's, you know, CPA board. And so that's what the Texas State Board is. I have my license through there and I'm able to practice in the state of Texas. And yeah, I mean, so that's pretty much what it is. It's not like anything terribly, detailed. But yeah, so I mean, that's the reason for both the certifications.
How did you prepare yourself for the accounting profession outside of like what college offers, perhaps like some internships or developing soft skills or more technical skills? Like you talked about with doing the CPA track, you were able to skip the master's degree for the exam. What other events like that did you help you in your path?
Yeah, actually, so the only real internship I did in college was I interned in kind of business administration for Lockheed Martin back in college. I believe it was after sophomore year of college, and I had an opportunity to come back to Fort Worth here and intern for Lockheed under one of the programs and one of the contracts they had. And so, I learned a lot about just kind of, you know, what a professional environment looks like, what that kind of organizational structure is and how people report, and also the deliverables you have from, you know, let's say in a school setting where, you know, you do homework, you know, once or twice a week, but in a corporate environment, you know, it's not like a set schedule. You know, there might be some weeks or some projects that really are intense, you know, during certain periods of time, and then, you know, really lax during others. And so, you know, that kind of flow was really, you know, exciting to kind of witness and experience. I definitely picked a lot of people's brains about, you know, what kind of soft skills make them successful. And, you know, a lot of people, if I remember back that far, would say that, you know, it's all about people skills and your communication, verbal and, you know, nonverbal communication. They threw me into Toastmasters when I was there as an intern. And so really kind of went from knowing nothing about public speaking. You know, I mean, I took debate at St. Mark's, but wasn't really highly interested or motivated by that at the time. But, you know, Toastmasters really, really gave me an opportunity to take that kind of professional communication to another level. And those 3-4 months at Lockheed, you know, going to that weekly really, really helped me at Emory, as well as getting in front of leaders and other soldiers, you know, in the Army. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of takeaways, you know, that I have that, I mean, like I said, I could share for hours. So.
You already talked a little bit about sort of the general overview of what exactly a finance director does.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about how employment opportunities are in this area and how they differ between the corporate sector and government or public sector?
Employment opportunities. Well, if you're qualified and knowledgeable and experienced, I believe right now there's a huge void. And I believe that throughout Texas, you know, there is a big need for, you know, financial professionals, especially kind of, you know, CFO level and stuff. So yeah, I mean, employment opportunities, and I would say I have pretty good job security at the moment. So
what made you to go to UT Austin for an MBA?
It was really an opportunity, first of all, to utilize the educational benefits that the Army provided, and then really give me a year after my Army career to kind of get adjusted back to, you know, civilian life, if, you know, that's what we used to say, and getting back into kind of thinking about things in a civilian / corporate setting. And, you know, and so I really took that time to kind of adjust myself, adjust my mentality, and then kind of gear up to get the things ready that I needed to in order to start studying and progressing in my accounting career. So I kind of had to start over because, you know, getting out as the captain of the Army, pretty established, you get anywhere from 60, 80 to 200 people underneath you that you're overseeing. And then my first job afterwards was as a staff auditor for the city of Dallas. And so, you know, you go from, you know, being the guy, or, you know, being one of them, to now you're a staff. So yeah, I mean, I just took that year to reset and to, you know, work on my credentials and, you know, get myself prepared to work back up that ladder.
Earlier, you were talking about how you chose the public sector because of like the sense of fulfillment that you got from.
Right.
Other than that, what is your favorite aspect of your job? And what would you say is your least favorite aspect of your job?
Favorite aspect, definitely working with people who are, you know, passionate about education and passionate about kind of the similar things that you are, that bring you to work every day. You know, I work with a, you know, great boss in our CFO that, you know, really looks to improve every function financially, you know, see, you know, not just satisfied with where we're at, but really, you know, dives, you know, critically into every area and looks at how we can improve and, you know, what we can do to raise teacher salaries by, you know, 1%, how to make certain classrooms a little more education friendly, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, just, I would say, you know, anywhere you are, it's the people that you work that, you know, make or break it for you. So I'll say that's kind of my favorite part. Least favorite, I don't know. I mean, some days are really busy and there's a lot of fires and, you know, but, you know, that part of the job will be the same, you know, wherever you're at. You know, some days you're just going to have those times where, you know, you feel like, you know, you entered the day with maybe five things on your list, and then by the time, you know, it's time to go home, you ended up with 15 or 20 things on that list and you didn't get anything done. And so, you know, the environment is pretty fast paced, especially at a small district like Highland Park, where, you know, you're doing a lot of different functions financially and also operationally. And so, yeah, you know, those days, just, you know, frustrating that you're not able to do everything you want. But, you know, you got to realize that, you know, you also have tomorrow, and you know, you got to continue to improve. So, yeah, you take the bad with the good. So
with your master's degree, you said you got an opportunity that year to sort of reset after Army life and get reaccustomed, develop like credentials. Would you say, and you also mentioned earlier, but like with banking in New York, you didn't really want to go down that path because of a variety of reasons. But would you say, like, if you go down that path, you would have to spend probably a couple of years working really hard, very long days, trying to sort of establish yourself in that field before you could like see a lot of returns? Would you say that applies to this field too? Is there like more work-life balance like throughout this from start to finish, or is it like the same?
Yeah, I would definitely say that there's a greater ability to achieve a good work-life balance than if you were an associate or staff banker on Wall Street, or even if, you know, I had gone into one of the big four as a, you know, tax or audit staff or even a senior, you know, who knows. I would say there's certainly the ability for you to achieve that work-life balance, you know, here much more easily and than you would at kind of like an accounting firm, or like you said, you know, I banking somewhere. So yeah, I would agree with that.
Based on the knowledge that you have today, if you could go back to high school or college, would you do anything differently along the lines of maybe focusing on one area of like development, maybe interpersonal skills more than something else, or working with more mentors, or maybe interacting more with professors? Anything, any key points that or takeaways from your college?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that kind of social media and, you know, those kind of virtual network, you know, systems were just starting to get established when I was in college. You know, Facebook came online when I was a sophomore or junior in college. And so, but yeah, I think for the students growing up now, there's certainly a lot more opportunity to connect with, you know, high profile people in any industry, you know, whether it's, you know, celebrities or, you know, business professionals, athletes, you know, whoever. There's certainly a much, much easier ability to seek out those kind of mentors that you want, you know, now. And so yeah, I think if I had to do it over again, then yeah, I think I would definitely try and do more of that kind of networking. I would kind of force myself to get out of my comfort zone and do a lot more development on, like you said, soft skills. Communication is still, I mean, such a fundamental key of business. The relationship you have with your staff, with your people, is critical. And you just don't really realize a lot of that growing up. As you get older and you get more established in a firm or a school district or, you know, wherever, then yeah, I mean, it's definitely all about your ability to, you know, work with, to motivate, to inspire the people that you work with every day to carry out the mission, you know, and your, you know, goals and your objectives to the best of their abilities. So.
That's a great advice. Sometimes the soft skills can be more important than the actual technical skills.
Absolutely. Yeah. Technical skills, to an extent, everyone has them. You know, you wouldn't be hired if you didn't. And so, you know, at that point, you know, really the soft skills are, you know, where it all, you know, where it makes the biggest difference. So
without going into specifics, how does compensation look in this profession? You could phrase that maybe with relation to other professions you're familiar with, or just in general.
Yeah, probably to, you know, corporate, you know, it's definitely lower, you know, with any industry right now, with any, you know, job opportunity right now, the ability to find people is getting harder, I believe. And so I think it's starting to even out a little. I think compensation, school district, it's not going to be probably as high as some finance positions, or even CFO roles in the Big Four or in industry, corporate world. But I think it's come up a long ways. And I think it'll continue to get better. And so, you know, certainly it doesn't hurt, you know, right now, but, you know, I mean, it's not the most important thing, obviously, but I do believe it's getting better within our education industry. So
what is some advice you would give to someone maybe in their junior year or senior year in school, who's like pretty similar to you, also inclined towards math, considering like a similar profession?
Yeah, best advice, experienced a lot of different things in college. I mean, even though I knew I wasn't really good in physics, I still tried to take some sort of physics elective and you know, took a sociology course and, you know, and so, yeah, I kept up with Spanish in college for a little bit. So take things that expand the, you know, breadth of your knowledge. And, you know, in college, one thing I didn't do was take any psychology classes. And I think, you know, looking back, I really think, you know, psychology and the ability to understand what other people think and why they make certain decisions and things like that. I think that's so critical these days. And so, you know, just to have a couple tools in your kit that help kind of diagnose a situation and then be able to think critically to resolve that quickly and to your advantage. More importantly, you know, that, you know, I think that's very vital to your career. And so, yeah, that's one thing that I wish I had done differently. But really just, you know, if you have something that you're interested in, explore it. A lot of people fall into that trap of doing what their parents tell you to do. And, you know, I mean, I'm certainly not 100%, you know, clear of that. I'm sure being the son of Asian parents, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you probably know as well. But, yeah, you know, it's hard to just, you know, break free and do whatever you want. But that also takes courage and, you know, that's how you grow and you develop. So yeah, I would say just, you know, if you have something that interests you, get out there and try it. Meet people, you know, connect with the best in the world in that industry or, you know, whatever it is, you know, volunteer a lot, you know, really gives you a perspective of just how blessed you really are. And yeah, really, you know, makes you cherish the opportunities that you have. So I think that's kind of good advice I can give.
Those some great points, especially the one with psychology. Psychology is sort of like the basis for communication or interpersonal skills. So
right, absolutely, it's so vital to be able to be on the winning end, and really that's like the basic way that you can present your case. If you know who you're presenting to, or you know, even during interview, if you know a little bit about who you're interviewing with, then you have such an upper hand, you know, with the way you can use those psychology tools. And so, yeah, that's one thing that I missed out on. And, you know, I'm trying right now to read, study, you know, watch stuff on YouTube about. So
the last question I have is, do you have any final thoughts or comments to share before we end this podcast?
No. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me on and you know, allow me to, you know, share a little bit with you. And I think this is a fantastic thing that you're doing. You know, setting up this website and podcast with, you know, as a new way to inspire and motivate, you know, high school students. And so, yeah, keep it up, and, you know, really looking forward to seeing how you develop and where you're at.
Thank you so much for your time and the great advice you gave. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check out Pathfinder101.com for more information like this. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.